Turn to God's word.
Father, thank you for the blessing of worshiping you together today. And thank you for everyone who's part of our church family all over this morning, just worshiping you and ready to hear what you want to say to us. God, open our hearts and open our ears, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So one of the things that we've kind of emphasized over the last few weeks in particular is the statement, I am Genesis. Church is all about the people. And for us as a church, today is a significant Sunday because this really is the beginning of the next normal for us. It's a new chapter that is starting for us as a church family. And I'm excited about that because I'm excited to see what God is going to do. For some reason, I generally bring my phone up here when I'm preaching. In the back of my mind, sometimes, you know, the powers that be here can communicate with me when I'm standing here by my phone. So in case they need to, like, shut up, Dad, you've gone on long enough. Or such endearing things. No, that doesn't happen. I'm just kidding. But I always bring my phone. Do any of you remember having a BlackBerry? Right? Do you remember getting a BlackBerry and thinking, I am now super cool? I did. It's like, I'm a high flyer. I got a BlackBerry. And I loved my BlackBerry. And for some reason, I never really got into video games. I really gave up. Once Pac-Man went, I was done. You know, I love Pac-Man, but I was done after that. But there was a game, and I can't even remember it. There was a game that was on my BlackBerry that got me. And those of you that are into video games, you understand what I'm saying, right? There's some games that are addictive. So it's like 3 o'clock in the morning and you're thinking, I really need to go to bed, but I've got to try one more level. And I used to play this game and play this game. And I remember once when I was in India and I couldn't sleep with the time difference. And I played this game until about 6 o'clock in the morning when I started to feel drowsy. Because you'd go so far, and then I'd be beaten, and I had to go back, and I had to go up. And for months, this game, absolutely, I was obsessed with this game. And one night, sitting in our house, it was like about 10:30 at night. You know what I did? I beat the game. I finally got to the top level. And I never looked at it again. And I don't think I've ever played a game on the phone since. I was done. I'd reached the height, it was over. I want to tell you something today. With God, it's never done. And we've never gone as far as we can go. With God, there is always the next level, the next normal, which you and I are beginning this Sunday morning. 6 months ago, we might have been sitting here thinking, hey, this is fantastic. This is great. Two services, crowded place. This is fantastic. But today, hey, guess what? God's still got new things for us. And we move into the next normal. There's a Bible verse I really want to focus on this morning in the book of Isaiah. Though I'll call it Isaiah because it's written in our language, and in our language we call it Isaiah. So in Isaiah 43 and verse 19, it says this: be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. God says, be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. That's why I'm excited this morning, because I believe that this is the beginning of the next step for us as a church, and that God is going to do something that is brand new, that we've never experienced before, we've never seen before. But the next phase for us as individuals and together as a church is God's brand new. And I'm going to pull out three. Of course, it's three. Three things from this text, and I want to share them with you this morning. The first is this. This text encourages us to be living in the moment. living in the moment. Here's what he says at the start. Be alert. Be present. Be alert. Be present. It's important for us to be living in God's present. In fact, a few verses after that, verse before that, verse 18, says this. It says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. I don't know about you, when I was in high school, I loved history. I was fascinated by history. When my junior, senior year, when I could opt out of some subjects, I actually actively opted into history because I was fascinated by history. But the fact is that, you know, history's not where we live. It helps us to understand how we've got to where we are. Sometimes, you know, there are people who ask me the question, if you could be living at any time in history, when would you want to live? I've got an answer for that. It's very simple. Now. Now. I'm just fully excited about living now and looking forward to the future that God has got for us. Isaiah the prophet says to God's people, he says, hey, I want you to be present. I want you to be alert. Focus on the now. There was a period in the history of the nation of Israel when their enemies destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, took a lot of the people away as prisoners of war. And in the Old Testament book of Ezra, it tells the story of them beginning to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12, it says this, but many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of the temple that was being laid, while many others shouted for joy. So they were starting all over again. And here they were, and as they're starting over again, here are the old priests. Old priests can be such cranky people. So here's the old priest. I didn't say old pastor. Hello. All right, so you haven't lost the touch, have you? So the old priests were like, yeah, look at this piece of junk compared to what we had before. Yeah, this is nothing like. And some of the other people and some of the prominent families, the heads of the families, were saying the same thing. At the same period that Ezra was writing the history, the book of Haggai was the prophet at that time. And in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 3, it says this, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? So the prophet's saying, hey, you know, he knew where they were coming from. So he's really kind of here, really calling them on it and saying, hey, some of you are saying this is nothing like what we had before. And some of you could be sitting here in-house this Sunday morning, and those of you sitting at home watching are like, yeah, this isn't what we used to have before. And it's not. It's not. This is not how it used to be. This is not Genesis as I knew it. And it seems to you like it's just nothing. But here's what I want to tell you. You don't draw conclusions from the foundation of a thing. The foundation of the temple was what was being built. And they were commenting, looking at the foundations, and they're saying, oh, this is nothing like the old place. This isn't really that good at all. This isn't great. I don't know about this. But you don't, the foundations are only ever the beginning of the story. And I want to encourage you, wherever you are joining us from today you are with us as the foundation is being laid for the next step of our journey and for where God is going to take us and for the story that lies ahead. Hey, some of you have been part of our church for years, and Genesis has always been a place of new beginnings. We've seen a lot of change over the years, especially over the years where we were, I was going to say transient. Is that kind of the word? We were moving from one place to another, and here we go again. So we got a new place to do church here in a high school. And hey, the next year was, we're in this hotel. We got a new place to do church. And later that year, we're in a movie theater. We got a new place to do church. We've always been a place of new beginnings. Thank God, far more than physically. This has been a place of new beginnings for lives of people, which is what really matters. But change has been a part of our lives. And here, you know, as we are in our country, in our world, as a church, we're in a place where change is happening. Laying the foundation for the new thing that God is going to do. Let me talk to you about the Chulalongkorn Bridge, because you were wondering about it, right? The Chulalongkorn Bridge was built in Honduras in 1998. And it was built, and it was a terrific project put together actually by Japanese engineers. And it was a bridge that was going to be able to withstand the incredible storms that that area had. And when it was opened, it was highly praised. The whole nation was proud of it. People would drive to that region just to go over the bridge, take pictures of it, and were in awe of their wonderful bridge that was indestructible. And then in October of that year, 1998, Hurricane Mitch hit that area with 75 inches of rain in 4 days. The river swelled, flooded that whole area. 7,000 people died. Most of the bridges in the whole country were swept away, except the Chulalongkorn Bridge. It stood firm. But the roads leading up to it and away from it had been completely swept away. And in fact, the flooding caused the whole river to change its course, so that now the river was moved quite a considerable distance away from under the bridge. And the Chulalongkorn Bridge stands strong till this day over nothing, with no roads leading up to it. It's useless, because the river has moved. You know what has happened in the last 6 months in church life? I'm going to tell you this, and we need to recognize it. Things have moved, and things have changed. And I know there's something in every one of us that longs to get back to normal. Normal isn't coming back. The next normal begins today. The next normal. What's it going to look like going forward? I have no idea, but I'm excited to see that God, where God will lead us. And we can't spend our lives looking at the Chulalongkorn Bridge and thinking, it's fantastic, I can't wait to use it again. It's useless. Churches, we've done it. It's something we won't be doing. But today's the beginning of the next normal for us as a church. And you know, part of the lesson of that is for every single one of us today. There comes a time in our lives where some of us need to let go of what was. I don't know who God might be speaking this to today and how it might apply to your life, but it is so important at times to let go. There's some of you perhaps that have been hurt by church. Some of you perhaps that are watching church at a distance this morning and have no intention ever of going back into a church building again. And you know what? I'm just grateful for the fact that you've trusted us enough to worship with us here at Genesis. But I want to tell you this, there comes a time in our life where we cannot any longer live in the past, because the past is the past, and we need to recognize today is a new day, today is a different day, and God has got a future for us. So many areas of our lives, you can't live locked into looking back and prosper. You can't be looking back in longing on what was one day or what you might have lost, because then you're in no position to see what God has in store for you up ahead. The next normal, the beginning of that is we got to live in the moment. This is an exciting moment for us. We can't spend our lives saying, I wish we could have what was back again, because you know what? God wants us to be living, looking forward for what he will do, looking for what God will do. That's important. Looking for what God will do. Did you get that? I'll say it one more time, just in case, right? Looking for what God will do. We've got to live in expectation for what God will do. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Be alert, be present. Look at the next statement. I'm about to do something brand new. I'm about something to do something brand new. Now, I'm just going to say something, and for those... I think Charlotte mentioned the other week they have a panic button in the booth that can cut me off at a moment. So I want to tell you, leave that panic button alone, okay? I'm going to explain the statement I'm about to make, and it's okay. I'm a bit distracted this morning. You know why? I'm afraid I'm going to lose my pants standing here. No, I am. I'm distracted. And the reason is this. We moved house yesterday because we didn't have enough to do this weekend. So we moved house yesterday. And by the time we moved house and got into our new house and got some essentials done, you know, there are boxes all over the place, and I cannot find a belt. In fact, this is the second pair of pants I put on this morning because they're a bit tighter than the other ones, so hopefully they hold themselves up. So, we're in a new house. It was actually built in 1997, so it's not new. But it's new to us. And there's a whole development around us. It's a new neighborhood for us, but it's not new. It's been there for years. But when God says, be alert, I am going to do something. He qualifies it. He says, I am going to do something that is brand new. God's going to do something brand new. There's two kinds of new. There's new to me and totally new. And God says, I'm going to do some things that are totally new to you. Who's up for that this morning? I'm going to do some things that are totally new. I'm pumped about that. Hey, we've been doing some totally new things, and God's been helping us in this past 6 months. But God is the God of constantly of new things. So Haggai the prophet, talking about the rebuilding of the temple, he says, hey, I know how this looks to you. It looks to you like it's nothing compared to what it was. But here's what he goes on and says, verse 9. This temple is going to end up far better than it started out. Now, just having some folks here in front of me, I got to coach you because you haven't done this for 6 months, I know. Okay, if a statement like that's made is really good, you could say amen at the end, okay? All right? Okay, I'll help you get back into your rhythm. Don't worry, okay? All right, so let's start again, all right? This temple is going to end up far better than it started out.
Amen.
All right, you get it now. Now at home you can do that as well, okay? Your auntie may look at you weird, but you go ahead and say amen. It's all good, right? So here's how he describes it. He says it's going to be far better than it started out. A glorious beginning, but an even more glorious finish. A place in which I will, look at this, I will hand out wholeness and holiness. I love that. I love that. I love that. God says, I'm going to hand out wholeness and holiness. And then just in case you think, who does he think he is? This is the decree of God of the angel armies. Okay, gotcha. I love it. Looking forward to what God will do. Remember the story of the Exodus when the children of Israel came out of slavery in Egypt and they came to the Red Sea and they were confronted by a sea they couldn't cross and the Egyptian armies coming after them to kill them. And there they were and they were all panicking and they said, we want to go back to Egypt. Here's what it says in Exodus 14, verse 13. It says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. You see, they were hankering after going back to what they knew. And Moses said, no, 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 just stand still and wait and see what God's going to do. I read this great quote by an old missionary called C.T. Studd. He said, let us ever see the impossible, the utterly impossible, and then get to God and ask him to do it. That glorifies him and gives him a chance to magnify himself, which is best of all. Looking for what God will do. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, it talks about Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer and says as they went, there was a man who was crippled there and he was begging and he looked up at them, it says. And Peter said to him, Peter said, look to us, see what we've got. And so the man gave them his attention, it says, expecting to get something from them. And what he got from them was more than he ever expected. He thought that they were going to give him a few bucks, but what they actually did was they gave him healing through the power of Jesus Christ that transformed his life. But it began with the man looking expectantly and saying, okay, what am I going to get? And I want to encourage you today, wherever life is at for you right now, to live life looking for what God is going to do. And I am going to remind you that just like that crippled man who was expecting money and got way more, God always gives us far more than we could ever imagine in our wildest thoughts. Look for what God will do. When we first went into lockdown 427 years ago, and we're not permitted to have services indoors, in one of the first Sundays that I was speaking, and I'm just going to reiterate what Charlotte said earlier, we are all, as church family, profoundly grateful to and indebted to the key people that have allowed us for 6 months now, every Sunday, to live stream a service to you. And I know, because I've kept in touch with a lot of pastors through the whole process of this. And I've mentioned before, a few of the younger pastors that I met with, let's face it, most of them are, aren't they? Younger than I am. But I met with some pastors earlier in this, and some of them were really, you know, panicking and troubled and freaking out, and I totally get that. But you know, I believe God's God, and I believe the church is his church, and I believe God's working out his purposes in this whole world right now. I can't understand it. I don't know how it's, but I believe God's still God, right? Right? I believe God's still got this. I don't think God's been panicked at all in the last 6 months. But I did refer, one of those first Sundays, I referred to what happened in the early church when Jesus had gone, or before he went back to heaven, he said to his disciples, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And what happened was they grew a huge church in Jerusalem and didn't go anywhere else. And then in the book of Acts, chapter something, because I've lost my place in my notes. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, Stephen was killed. And it says Saul approved of They're killing him. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria. Now, that was an awful time. Awful time. People were driven for fear from their homes. People were in prison. People lost their lives. It was a terrible crisis that they went through. But I want you to notice what happened, right? Jesus had said, I want you to be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. It tells us here that what happened was that the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And look at what it says in Acts 8 and verse 4. It says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. So you know what? God's will was done. But it was done through an absolute crisis time. And I want to just tell you this. God's purposes are being fulfilled. I know people who say that church is being closed. Governments don't have a right to do this. We used to sing a song years and years ago. Many years ago. Most of you never even will remember this. But it started with this line, God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. I want to remind you this morning, wherever life's at for you, God is still on the throne. In this last 6 months, God is still on the throne. God has been doing things in the last 6 months that could not have happened if things had just been continuing the way that they were. Our church family has grown. More than that, the kingdom of God has grown. People have found faith in Jesus. We've got people who are members in our church that we may not ever see till we get to see them in heaven. But they are as much a part of us as anybody is. And those of you watching from other states who have made this, say, this is my church, I want to tell you, you are as much a part of our church as any of the people sitting physically in front of me right now. Let's live in the moment. Let's live looking for what God will do. And then the third thing is this. Let's live loving the excitement. Loving the excitement. Well, we never did church like this before. No, we didn't. Isn't this fun? I mean, come on. You can kind of sit at home on your sofa in misery, say, I really want to get back to the old days. You can sit in here, and I appreciate if you're one person from your household, you're sat on one chair with 6 feet gap around you, and you would say, this pretty much stinks. Well, you can live that way if you want, or you can live saying, hey, I'm here day one of God doing a new thing, and I am excited to see what God is going to do. So God said in Isaiah 43, I'm going to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. Look at this next statement. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the badlands. God was going to do something never. God said I'm going to do something like it's never been done before. It's like a road going through a desert. And you may be personally in a time in your life now where you think, you know what? That's where life's at. Dry, barren, empty. You know, threatening. And God says, I'm going to make a road through the desert. I'm going to do that. And Joshua took over as the leader of the children of Israel when Moses died. There's a significant statement God made to him in Joshua 3:4. It's real simple. It says this. God told Joshua, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to help you because you've never been on this road before. I'm excited because we've never been on this road before. I'm excited. Some of you know me well. Some of you know me over many years. You know I'm excited with new stuff. You know I love and I love challenges and I welcome change and I'm pumped here today. Listen, because as a church, we have never been on this road before. And I'm really full of expectations. When Joshua brought the children of Israel to the promised land, some of them went into the areas that they were given. And some of them, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh, they got their land and they settled down. And Joshua went back to them and said, wait a second. You can't settle down till you've helped your brothers go and find their land and settle in their land and drive out their enemies. And he said, but they were tired. It's like, I don't want to do this. We're good. We're comfortable. Joshua said, no, we got to complete this. Joshua 1:13, remember the command Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Don't stay still. Don't settle. Keep pushing forward. Keep pushing forward. Till in every way, we really are enjoying what God has got for us. As I draw towards a close, I use the word towards. I want to talk about Caleb because I haven't talked about Caleb for a while, and he's my favorite Bible character. So here's the background. Children of Israel get into the promised land finally, and Joshua's there with some of the leaders, and he's deciding sort of, you know, hey, you folks, you can live over here, and you folks, you can live over here. And so he calls a meeting with all the leaders, and there's this guy called Caleb. And Caleb and Joshua, years before, they had actually gone into the promised land before they owned it. Moses sent them in, and they went in and they looked around. Actually, there were 12 spies who went in to check it out. 10 came back and said, this place is no good for us at all. There's nothing's going to come of this. They're going to destroy us. And Joshua and Caleb came back and said, it's a scary place. They've got vast armies, but God will win it for us. So that was Joshua and Caleb, right? So here we are years later now, 40 years after that, they're in the promised land. They're divvying up the land. Caleb is now 85 years old, and Joshua and Caleb and the other leaders. And before Joshua can say to Caleb, Caleb, my old friend, we've traveled a long way together, and you've worked so hard. And so here's what I'm going to do for you. You can have Florida. Go retire. You've earned it. So Caleb, I really think, knowing Joshua was going to say that, Caleb got in first. And Caleb spoke up as soon as the meeting started. And here's what he said in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12. Some of you heard me quote this several times because I love this thing. Caleb said to Joshua, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard that the Anakites were there. Those were people who apparently were giants. Their cities are large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. I don't know if you can grasp this like it hits me. Here's an 85-year-old man, and an 85-year-old Caleb is saying, hey, years ago when I was young, we talked about I get the hilly country where the giants live and where the cities are huge and they would never be able to be defeated, but I want to go up there because I'm going to drive them out. Caleb is my man. He's 85 years old, and he's saying, no, I won't go down to the beach, and you can't give me a condo in Fort Myers. He said, here's what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to go to the hill country, and I'm going to kick butt with the giants that are there. That's where he was coming from. That's where he was coming from. Listen, as a church, we are entering the next normal. I am totally thrilled that so many people from all over are part of this next step for us. So what do we do now? Well, let me take some of Joshua's words and conclude with these. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, it says this, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves. Tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Now, he didn't say, if you consecrate yourselves, the Lord will do amazing things. God's going to do amazing things regardless. The question is whether we want to be a part of it or not. And he challenged the people of Israel, said, will you dedicate yourselves to God and to what's ahead? And my invitation to you this Sunday morning is to dedicate yourselves to God and to what lies ahead. God says, I am going to do something brand new. And our response needs to be, I'm in. I'm in. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the incredible promises you give us in your word. Thank you that you are a God who is constantly creating and recreating, a God of new hopes, new dreams, new plans, new possibilities. And God, I pray today, especially for those that have been dogged by the memories of what was in their lives, maybe hurt, maybe failure, maybe disappointment. And I pray, God, that you would help them, Lord, to really be alert and be present this day and open to what you will do. Father, we open our hearts to you as individuals and as church family together all over today. We say, Father, we want to just dedicate ourselves to you afresh and to what you want to do. God, do what you've planned. Because, God, we really want to be a part of it. Amen.